this episode of GeoTalk, we head to the middle of Port Phillip Bay, we go to an event to discuss a mega event in South Australia, and the return of Google Maps to geocaching.com. All this and more on GeoTalk. Welcome to GeoTalk episode 87 for May 2012. I'm your host, Darren, from the Spin Doctors. Welcome to the podcast. If this is your first time listening, don't forget to check out our website at geotalkpodcast.com. And if you want to contribute to the show, you can drop us an email at geotalkpodcast@gmail.com, or you can call it in on 02800 5436. That's 02800 5436. Well, in this episode, we'll go through a number of different things. But first of all, what have I been doing on the caching front? Well, last week I spent a fantastic day up in the Blue Mountains. We are very lucky in Sydney, those of us in Sydney, to have such a diverse range of not only geocaches, but places in which to go geocaching. And if you haven't done it or you're visiting Sydney, I thoroughly recommend a trip up to the Blue Mountains. You really need to put aside a day, but there's a great variety of them that are up there. And one that I did last weekend was the Bee Gees, which not after the musical group, but after the Blue Gums that are in the forest there. A difficult walk down. It was about a 600-metre drop, or around about 2,000 feet in the old speak, and then had to climb back out of there as well. So I worked out that's equivalent of about a 120-storey building. So it's quite a bit of work. A number of people have done it, and certainly it has a number of favourites. And I'll give you a link in the show notes. It's well worth having a go at that one if you're up in that area. But it's all part of my quest these days. It's not about the numbers, but it's certainly about some numbers for me. And I'm trying to work my way at the moment through the oldest caches that are in New South Wales. And long-time listeners will know that I've found all the year 2000 caches that have been hidden in Australia. Now I'm working my way through 2001 and 2002 just in the state of New South Wales. The scoreboard's not too bad at the moment. I've got, for 2001, I've got 23 out of 40. And for 2002, I've got 29 out of 74 that still exist in the state. So we might update that a little bit later in the year, see how we go. But a quick challenge to anyone who's in Australia, have a go at those seven caches from year 2000. I'm the only one that's found them so far, and that's pretty lonely here. So if anyone else is going to have a go, please let us know how you're travelling. There's a number of people who have found five, no one has found six, and I'm the only one that's found seven. So come on, brush up, see how you go. Well, the big news, of course, in geocaching circles is that Google Maps are back. Google Maps are back on geocaching.com, but only for premium members. Now, you might recall a few months ago that Groundspeak removed the Google Maps from their servers, the reason being that they were going to be facing a fairly hefty fee because Google were going to start charging people to use the Google Maps API. So they took them away, and there have been a few workarounds. And if you go back to, I think, about episode 85, we give you some tips on how to be able to include it using the Grease Monkey script on Firefox. But if you're a premium member, you no longer have to do that because now the Google Maps are available again on geocaching.com. Now, a great new cache that's recently been set up in New South Wales, and I must say I have a little bit to play in this, although I was just doing some of the organising of it. But Warren, also known as Marcus Vitruvius, has helped set up the Geocaching New South Wales State Challenge. Now, the code for that is GC3CA9M. So it's GC3CA9M. I'll give you a link in the show notes. But basically, you have to find a cache in each of the 14 local government areas across the state. And I had a look. I've got 11 out of 14. There's three still to get, quite a distance away from me, so it might be a few months before I get to finish it off, but already there's been a number of people that have found it, around about four or five, I think, from off the top of my head, and I know of a number of groups that are making trips out across New South Wales to deliberately try and find them so that they can claim the cache. It's been inspired by the Victoria Country Road Atlas Challenge. That's GCY98X, which is a similar setup down in Victoria, but I'm interested to know of any others that exist in Australia? Are there any other challenge cases that are on this scale where you have to, you know, sort of zoom around the state or a fairly large area of the state in which to be able to claim the challenge case? If you know of it, give us a call or drop us an email. Love to hear about it. Now, as I mentioned in the intro, there's an event being held. In fact, it's on the 30th, so it's in a few days' time, over in Adelaide, GC3JYT5. That's GC3JYT5. It's called Mega Ready in 2014. And in the description it says, "Is South Australia Mega Ready? We're about to find out. Join us at the Albion Hotel in Kilburn, where we hope to be able to consider locations that local, interstate and international geocaches will come to for an event to get that mega icon." Now, they're looking at Easter 2014, which will be on the 18th of April to the 21st of April, and Anzac Day will be a few days later on the 25th. So it's the sort of thing that you might be able to sort of take the week off and head over there. So hopefully we'll hear in the next episode whether or not those plans are going ahead. Of course, last episode we talked about the Little Big or the Big Little. I know I mucked it up and I should have put it in my notes, but the event being held down at Nelson in Victoria. So looks like there's a number of mega events certainly in the pipeworks here in Australia. Well, it's time now to head across the ditch, but not in the direction that you're thinking. It's time for an update from Alan, Radio Nut 50.
Yeah, hi again from Radio Nut 50, usually of Hamilton, New Zealand, but today recording this from our room in Launceston, Tasmania. I hope the locals note I tried to pronounce that the proper way. We're over here on a business trip with some caching days each side of the commitments. So far we've had a great trip down over to the West Coast area and then here to this northern city. Tomorrow we head off to Port Arthur and Hobart, so thoughts of caches in that area will have to come next month. A feature of our visit so far is an event that was held here in Launceston earlier in the week, where, thanks to Craig Ratt and around 12 local caches all gathered with us for a meal and some friendly sharing about our great hobby, or is it a sport? It was really good to chat with other caches of such a wide variety of experience. Thanks everybody for that. So in our small number of days caching in this state for our first time, there have been a few standout hides in our minds. One of our days was spent on the famous West Coast Railway, travelling from Queenstown to Strawn, and in the middle of that trip, at a station stop with an unlikely name of Double Barrel, there's a geocache. This spot's usually listed as the lunch stop for the train trip, so time is normally available for searching while on the train ride. Note that there's no road access whatsoever to this location. However, our trip stopped for lunch at the previous station, so we only had a 15-minute break here, which resulted in Butterfly Lady and I taking a rapid trot around the nature walk, heading the opposite direction to where we saw most of the other passengers. We then found the hide, logged it, and got it back out of sight before the main group appeared around the corner in the track. It's an exciting caching interlude during what was already a fantastic day that included me getting invited onto the footplate of the steam loco traversing this famous rack and pinion railway. Another memorable find was our first cache here in Tassie. It's called Lonnie TB Hotel, and it's an excellently constructed special hide. It's up the road from the Launceston Airport, and we're feeling pretty tired at that time after a 3 a.m. start in the morning in New Zealand, 1 a.m. local time here, looking for this early in the afternoon. But the find wasn't too difficult, and the construction was quite interesting. A good cache. We enjoyed another cache called Hilltop Hood. Firstly, as it brought us to a less than obvious lookout spot above the town of Burnie. Always a great outcome from geocaching. But also because, after some hard and unsuccessful searching, we heard a call from a Muggle car that just arrived, and they said, "Hey, are you guys geocaching?" We then got to meet Yin and Yan team, who had been muggled out a little bit earlier when trying to rehide the cache and had kept it in their car. So while we chatted with one, the other rehid the cache while we weren't looking, and then we found it. What a great lot of cooperation. It's always great to meet caches in the field. While we've been here, we've done a few Geocaching Australia caches for our first time. Not too many, though, after starting out with a couple of DNFs and then having to get our heads around the procedure for logging benchmark caches. And finally getting a briefing on frog and gnome travelling caches when a bag of these creatures appeared on the table during the event. It's all very different from our traditional geocaching.com caching, but it certainly adds a difference to our hobby. Tomorrow, we're back into the caching mode, having concluded the business portion of the trip, so we head for Port Arthur and Hobart, where another event is listed so we can meet some more locals. More on this next month. So we end with a quick run through the events listed in New Zealand at the moment. In the North Island, we have a WWFM event followed by a get-together the same evening in Tauranga on the 9th of June. Then Will Build is celebrating his 10 years of geocaching in Waihee on the 17th. A winter solstice evening in Wellington is on the 21st of June, and the longest night event is held in Auckland the day after on the 22nd of June. There's also an event called the Paparazzi in Auckland on the 7th of July to see off the geocaching tour to Cambodia. In the South Island, we've got the Crumbie Cache Chat in Dunedin on the 7th of June, a WWFM and follow-up evening events in Christchurch on the 9th of June, and a shorter stay in Christchurch event on the 24th. Then, of course, there's that famous New Zealand first mega event. It's on Labour Weekend on the 22nd of October. You can now register for this on the web also. So with that note, it's back to you, Dan.
Well, thanks for that update, Alan. And I know that I've been to some of those parts of Tasmania. And just for the record, it's Launceston. It's a soft C, not a hard one. But I'm sure you'll get that from the locals. You'll get an update in the next before the next episode. But certainly enjoy your trip around Tasmania. And we hope to hear more about your travels in around Hobart. Well, it's time now to head to Port Phillip Bay, where we've got regular caller Covert Hypnosis giving us an update on an event that's a little bit out of the ordinary.
G'day, GeoTalk listeners. It's Covert Hypnosis here. Just rang up to tell you about an upcoming event, which will be in the next hour and 45 minutes. The event starts. And I'm just on my way down to a drive down there. It's a Terrain 5, Difficulty 5 cache. And the cache is This Is Dangerous by the guy from the Loony Bin. GC code 2N3PP. So basically what it is, we're heading out into Port Phillip Bay down here in Melbourne, and we're going to sign a logbook. Not sure where the logbook will be yet, but I imagine the cache owner will have it in the waterproof Pelican box sitting on a float or something at the top like that they've done before. And yeah, I guess we're not going to spend a lot of time there because it's pretty cold at the moment. That 10 to 15 knot winds down at here. Water temperature 16.1 degrees. We'll be paddling into the wind on the way there, but then we'll be paddling away from the wind on the way home. It should make it a little bit easier. About 3 k's off the shore, which isn't too bad. I've got my kayak on the roof of the car now, so a nice big sit on top, 5.4 metres long. That should make pretty light work at that type of distance. Just want to talk about the safety equipment we've got with us in our kayaks. There's a few of us with PLB, or personal light beacons, that work by satellites without the need for cell tower coverage in the form of a proper PLB in two spots, and maybe some other tests. Got one of the dark Kevin Sips, Kevin Lock, in case our torch just fell, and unfortunately probably have a little bit where to fall in the water. Multiple torches, flashlights, headlights, with spare batteries, phones that are in waterproof cases that will work while we're out there, even stick on top of the water, which are protected in a second waterproof case. Life jackets, of course, reflective tape. I'm just about everything we can put reflective tape on. Knife attached to the life jacket to cut one free from any rigging. Spare paddle, just in case someone breaks a paddle, loses an end, like what happened on last event at Heron Island. And also a tow rope in case someone needs to tow back with a in the yak. And first aid kit, which sits in a waterproof compartment inside its own waterproof box. And that's our safety equipment that we've got for this trip. Pretty sure we're pretty well covered.
Well, thanks for that, Covert. We'll catch up with you a little bit later on. Time now for some of the events that are occurring around the country, and I don't think any of these will be on water. The first one is the Riverina Geocaching Meet and Greet that's being held, obviously, down in Wagga Wagga on the 2nd of June. Then there's a day out in Wedderburn by the Old Blokes on the 3rd of June. Then there's also an evening meal following that one. On the 6th of June is the ACT June 2011 Geo Lunch. And on the 9th of June, there is the Clear Caching Capers number 2. That'll be in South Australia. And that's followed the next day by a CETO that's being held in the area. Now, on the 9th of June, it's the WWFM, which is the Worldwide Flash Mob, being organised, well, it's coordinated by Sunny and Sandy from podcacher.com. And if you want to know more about the WWFM, I'll give you a link in the show notes to a post on the Latitude 47 blog, which is the blog by Groundspeak, where they feature the WWFM. And if you're in near any of these locations, you'll be able to head to one on the 9th of June. There's Clare, South Australia, Hobart, Tasmania, Melbourne down in Victoria, also Victoria, Ballarat. We've got Canberra in the ACT, Mandurah in Western Australia, and there's a second one in Melbourne that will be held at 3 a.m. on the 10th of June, which will coincide with the event being held in San Diego. So check out those events. That's a WWFM being held around the world, but also in those locations. Now, also, the rest of the month, we've got the June Alternative number 2 being held at Renmark on the 10th of June, the Riesling Trail Recovery Ride on the 11th of June over in Clare, so there's a few events occurring over there. Got the Meet and Greet with Goshaz at Mount Gambier on the 14th of June. Quite a few events in South Australia. Then we've got Gone Fishing 07 and Hearse 068 mid-year dinner event in Wonthaggi down in Victoria. And to round out the month, on the 23rd of June, is the Geocaching 101 event being held in Sydney, New South Wales. Well, there's some of the events that are occurring around the country. Hopefully you'll be able to make them get to one of those. And if not, why not host one of your own? Well, it's time now to have a look in the geocaching mailbag. And first of all, we got a call from over in the US from a good friend of ours, X-Punk X, also known as Andy, who's host of the Geocaching Podcast, who had an answer to the question that I posed about the link between Facebook and geocaching and what it means when you log in as your Facebook identity. So we'll hear from Andy what he has to say.
Hi, Darren. This is X-Punk X from the Geocaching Podcast. I was just listening to your episode 86 when you talked about the Facebook login with geocaching.com. I went ahead and tried it myself, logged in, locked my geocaching.com account with my Facebook account, and just to see what you were talking about, to see about the logging and posting the logs, I found out that if you go down on the right-hand side of your geocaching.com account, there's a link for social postings to the social networks. And if you click on it, it allows you to where you can turn on and off the posting to Twitter and Facebook. And by default, the posting to Facebook is off. So when you first link your accounts, you can go in there and it does not automatically start posting things to your Facebook account. You have to go in and tell it to do that. So didn't know if you had tested that out and saw it, but that's where you can turn that on and off.
Well, thanks for that answer, Andy. And I checked it out, and certainly that's how it works. And the great thing is you can set the levels as to who you want to see where you've been caching and whatnot, so you don't have everyone in your feed having to see. But I must admit, I ended up switching it off because I only used it with my wife, and she got a bit annoyed seeing all these logs that I were putting in from a caching run, which she knew I was anyway. But yeah, check that out. That's the link between Facebook and geocaching.com. Well, we also got an email from Calypso62, also known as Bruce, from here in Sydney. He says, "Hi, I'm on trip in Canada at the moment and enjoying some great caching in British Columbia. My first Canadian find was GC712B, What's Cooking? This is a virtual cache of Captain James Cook, who's located right in front of the hotel that he's staying at. He says, Victoria is an amazing place and I managed to find a number of good hides in the local area. Also visited Whistler, an Olympic ski resort, and also enjoyed some excellent caching in the area. We have to watch out for black bears, though. Happy caching and looking forward to listening to the next Geo Talk. Well, thanks for that email, Bruce, and we look forward to having you back in the country, hopefully free of any bear attacks. I've also got an email from David, not too sure of his caching name, but he says, Darren, have you tried or seen the CacheSense app for Android? He said it's a really good one to cover on the podcast. He's been trying out the demo, and it's much better than CGO. In fact, he says it's bloody fantastic. Well, with a review like that, David, I think I'll have to give it a go. And I actually noticed that it was rated quite highly by Not About the Numbers on their blog. And I'll give you a link in the show notes to that. But I might have to install it on my Google phone, my Android phone, and try it out. So that's CacheSense for Android. Well, that just about wraps up the podcast. But before we go, we better just see how Covert got on getting back to shore. Hopefully he made it back to the shore with his final report on the event in the middle of Port Phillip Bay.
G'day, Gear Talk listeners. Just ringing back to say that we've all made it to shore. Well, at least the one who should be in an asylum, Vlad and myself have made it back, but Okadog didn't leave from the same place that we left from. So we assume that he's made it back. He has a PLB anyway. He's quite an experienced peddler. So, yeah, it was quite a fun event, something really different. And I must admit that on the drive down, I was coming down along the East Link. I was just about to turn onto the Monash, and I thought, what the hell are you doing, Covert? You're going to go and paddle out on the bay at 12 o'clock at night? For the sake of a smiley. And I just about went and turned around and went, no, this will be interesting. And it was. It was heaps of fun and was well worth it, and I'm glad I didn't miss out on it. So, Spadam, the one who should be in the asylum, and myself signing off. I'll speak to you some other time.
Well, thanks for that, Covert. It's good to hear that you all got back safely, and it's certainly interesting reading the description and the logs from that event. If you want to check it out, the code for it is GC2N3PP. That's GC2N3PP. It's the first 5-5 event that I've seen in the country. I'm sure we'll probably hear of some more in the near future. Well, that's all for this episode of GeoTalk. Until next time, safe geocaching.